Psalm 63, please. Psalm 63. Sometimes I make an outline. I don't think this has an outline. I call these rambling expositions. So we'll see how it goes. Psalm 63. Everybody there? I'm going to read the whole psalm. I'm going to focus in on probably just the first few verses, but the whole psalm is good and will be good to give you some context. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with one joyful lips. Verse 6, would I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches? Because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. And if you'll read the heading of the chapter, it says a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. So let's ask the Lord to bless the word. Lord, bless your word today. Thank you for the privilege of having the word of God. And thank you for every person that's made their way out to your house today. I ask that the Holy Spirit would be here in power, and that the name of Jesus Christ would be lifted up. Humble me, Lord, and make me what you'd have me to be. Forgive me my sins. Use all of us, Lord, for your furtherance of your kingdom. Thank you again for everything and everybody that's here. We just praise your wonderful name for your goodness to men. We ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. I do appreciate the effort. I know some of you made a great effort to be here today, and I appreciate that. I really do. It means a lot. I want to say, first of all, that David, or the psalmist here, was no ivory tower theologian. In other words, he had time and time again lived out his religion. He had time and time again been through the battles of this life. And he had many trials from the days of his youth, had he not. And so David knew what it was to experience great victories, but he also knew what it was to experience great defeat, didn't he? He had been through so many things, and he could say, as the old converted slave trader John Newton, he could say, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace shall lead me home. It's grace, isn't it? It's just by the grace of God that any of us are here this morning. God described David, as you well know, I'm sure, God described David as a man after his own heart. You ever thought about that? What does that mean? I mean, David wasn't perfect, was he? He was a sinner saved by grace, but I think it means this, that David had a heart towards God. He had a heart towards God. Psalm 78:70 says that God chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. You remember when they were trying to find a replacement for King Saul, And all the brothers were there, and except David. And they ran him past Samuel, and Samuel said, "No, no, 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 no." Samuel said, "Is there any more?" He said, "Yeah, there's, what's his name out there keeping the sheep?" He said, "Go fetch him." I think it says fetch him, I ain't sure. "Fetch him. Go get him." David was chosen by God. He was just a shepherd boy, wasn't he? But God had determined that he was going to be the king. I want to remind you today that God chooses the most unlikely people. And God chooses the most unlikely methods. And God chooses the most unlikely time to do things. But he accomplishes his will, doesn't he? This psalm, as you read it, is a prayer. The psalmist is looking for God. He's seeking for God. He's longing for God. It's a psalm of prayer. He starts out, "O God, thou art my God. Thou art my God." And it's also a psalm of worship, isn't it? It's a psalm of praise. It's a declaration of his faith. He's declaring his faith in God. And the heading tells us here that this psalm was penned when David was in the wilderness of Judah. And most commentators think that it was when he was running from Absalom. You know, Absalom was his rebel son. And could you imagine that? Fleeing from your own son to save your life. Your own son's going to take your life. You don't think that's a heartache?
Amen.
You don't think that's a burden? I can't imagine. You know, I mean, there's been times I wanted to knock mine around a little bit. But they've never wanted to kill me yet. That's bad, isn't it? Terrible. Terrible. The Bible says he was in the wilderness. You know, this life can sometimes be a wilderness, can't it?
Amen.
I mean, sometimes we have great sorrow. Sometimes we have great disappointments. And sometimes maybe things don't go as we planned. I can almost tell you a lot of times things don't go as we planned. You know, when Evelyn and I were first saved, we were told basically that if we would do A, B, and C, that our kids would turn out to be the best little Baptist Christians ever come along. And I've just got to confess to you that we thought we were doing our best, and things didn't turn out like we hoped. But it ain't over yet. When it comes to family matters, sometimes this it seems like a wilderness, doesn't it?
Amen.
When it comes to marriage, sometimes it seems like a wilderness. You know, Prince Charming may turn out to be a real creep. And you may find out that beauty is only skin deep. David experienced a lot of trouble, didn't he? Experienced a lot of trouble. And like us, he brought a lot of it on himself. We don't like to think about that, but you know, some of our things we bring on ourselves, don't we? Some of our difficulties, some of our problems. This world is like a wilderness. That reminds me of that old song. You probably remember it. I think the Rambo sung it. They said, "This world is just a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. I've never been this homesick before." This world is a wilderness, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a wilderness. The Bible describes it as a waste, howling wilderness. And just look at our headlines today. Look at the news every day. Have you ever seen such things? I know you haven't, because we've never experienced such things in our lifetime. Look at our government. Our government's an absolute mess. Look at society. Society's absolutely crazy. It seems to be a virtue these days to be clinically insane. Listen, I'm telling you, uh, 50 years ago they'd put these people in an institution.
Amen.
And they're running the country, a lot of them.
It's
a wilderness is what I'm getting at for the Christian. And let me ask you, do you ever feel, if your own problems, your own difficulties, you ever feel overwhelmed? I know we all do, you know, at times. We feel overwhelmed. We sung that hymn, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. He's the only one that can help you when you're overwhelmed. Do you ever feel crushed by the circumstances of life? If you don't, then good for you. I'm happy. But sometimes we do. Some of us do feel crushed by the circumstances of life. David cries out, O God, thou art my God. O God, thou art my God. Crying out to God, that's a good start, isn't it?
Amen.
Isn't that a good start?
Amen.
Crying out to God. Think of that statement. Think of what it entails. Thou art my God. Oh God, thou art my God. My God. The God of all creation is my God.
Amen.
The God who stepped out on nothing and created everything, spoke the worlds into existence, is my God.
Amen.
That's grace, isn't it? That's mercy. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's my God. Oh God, thou art my God. You realize what a great privilege that is, folks. We forget that, don't we? God's bigger than anything. Right?
Amen.
He can take care of everything. You and I are pretty powerless, really, in the big scheme of things, aren't we? I mean, a little virus can knock us out. A toothache can knock us out. A headache can knock us out. We really don't have a lot of strength, but our God has great, he's mighty, he's got great strength, doesn't he?
Amen.
He's my God.
Amen.
He's my God. It's an amazing thing. The God of this book is ruler over all.
Amen.
And he's my God.
Amen.
David said, O God, thou art my God. Our God can stop anything and he can start anything. How about that?
Amen.
He can stop anything and he can start anything. And no man can stay his hand.
Amen.
Nobody can. If God decides to do something, nobody can stop him. He knows when a bird falls to the ground, doesn't he? Isn't that what the Bible says?
Yes.
He knows when a bird falls to the ground. I mean, that's rather important to me and Evelyn because I'm feeding all the birds in pinch. And he's taking note of that. He knows when a little bird falls to the ground. And let me tell you something else. He knows every hair on your head is numbered. And you know, you all probably lost a few this morning. Right? You probably cleaned them out of the sink drain or the bathtub drain. Yeah, he knows every hair of our head. Is that just made up, folks? Did I just make that up, or did Jesus really say that? You think he cares about us? Is he your God? Is he your God? The psalmist said, early will I seek thee. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Can I give you some advice? Seek him early. First of all, seek him early in life. Seek him early in life, and we're all past that. But my advice to young people is seek him early. Seek him early. And then I want to tell you, you ought to seek him early in the day. I was thinking, Sherry mentioned Matt Baldwin to me back here, and it made me think of Vince Button, of course. And Vince was a night owl, and I was a morning person. And Vince, we were talking about, you know, having devotions or reading the Bible in the morning or whatever, and he said, I don't do that. He said, I read mine at night. And I told him, I said, well, who needs to read the Bible at night? You're just going to sleep. I need to read it in the morning before I start the battle. I was being kind of, don't get mad at me, I was being kind of facetious. But you know, it's good to start your day with the Bible, isn't it? It's good to start your day in God's Word. Evelyn's never seen the morning. I had to translate this to her. About noon, Evelyn, be good for you, okay? We need to start early. He says, early will I seek thee. And let me say this, we need to seek God early in trouble. When troubles come,
amen.
Don't wait till you're about halfway out in the middle of it to then turn, after you've tried three or four other things. That's what we do, isn't it? We call somebody and we talk to this person and that person. Eventually, when it looks like nobody else can help us, we'll ask God to help us if we can't get nobody else. We got spare tire religion sometimes, don't we? We'll call on God if nothing else will help us out, you know. Do you seek him early, folks? You seek him early in your troubles? Do you seek him early in the morning? Do you? Are you backslid in your seeking? Are you not where you once were? Then I'm exhorting you this morning to get back to where you need to be and seek him early. Seek him early in your life. Then he said this. He said, my soul thirsteth for thee. My soul thirsteth. You know, one of the ways you can know you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Well, one of the ways you can know you're a Christian is you're thirsty. Right? One of the ways you can know you're a Christian is you're thirsty. Not for the world, not for things, not for possessions, not for pleasures, but for God. If you're saved, you'll have a thirst for God. You'll have a thirst for God. The true child of God has an appetite. Right?
Amen.
The true child of God has an appetite. Now, you know, I was there. I was forced to be there. But I was there when all four of mine came into the world. I didn't want to be there. I'm old-fashioned, Miss Sharon. And I think that while a woman's having the baby, the man ought to be in the waiting room with a cigar in his shirt pocket and reading the magazine. But no, they wanted me in there. The doctor handed me the scissors and he said, you want to cut the umbilical cord? And I said, no, sir, that's why I'm paying you. But I did notice this much. When that baby come out of the womb and he slapped it on its bottom, it started crying. It had signs of life. And I tell you, what it wanted to eat. Had an appetite, didn't it? A newborn child of God has an appetite. A newborn child, if someone, let me just say, I'm not trying to be mean, and this affects my family, and this affects your neighbors, and this might affect your family, and it might even affect you. But if you have zero desire for God or the things of God, there's something terribly wrong. Let me say it again. If you have zero desire for the things of God, there's something terribly wrong. It's a sign of life, isn't it? He said, my soul thirsteth for thee. And then he said, my flesh longeth for thee. What does he mean by that? My flesh longeth for thee. Well, we know the Bible says the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And in my flesh, the Bible says, dwelleth no good thing. So what's David mean here? I can tell you what I think he means. I think he's saying, and I'm sure you know this, that your emotional state can affect your flesh. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Your emotional and your spiritual state can affect your physical state. Troubles and trials can break your health down. Amen. Difficulties in life can... A child that breaks your heart can break your health down. A lot of things in this life can affect your health. Stress can affect your health. Right? Did y'all know that?
Absolutely.
Stress can affect your health. Worry. Anybody here a worrier? Don't raise your hand. But worry can affect your health, can it? People just worry all the time, you know. Find you another hobby. Worrying won't change anything, will it? Worrying can affect your health. Stress can affect your health. Bitterness, unforgiveness can affect your health, can't it?
Yes.
It can affect your health. Bitter, you know, getting angry and then getting bitter. That can affect your health. Bitterness will eat a hole in your stomach. You'll be at the doctor, you know, saying, give me some of this and give me some of that, because I... All I'm saying is all that stuff will eventually show up in your flesh. You'll eventually... I've seen people, I really believe this, I've seen people so broken over situations that it almost killed them or killed them. God tells us, what does God tell us? He tells us to cast our burdens on Him. Doesn't he?
Yes.
Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. In other words, give your burdens to God, because you can't do much about it anyway. Give your burdens to the Lord. Cast your burdens onto him. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 6, it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, I've got to tell you something. I just read those two verses, and I feel like it just was like water off of a duck's back. I don't feel like y'all believe that at all. I believe you'll go out here tomorrow worrying, stressed out, tore up. Why you say that, preacher? Because I'm made out of the same stuff you are. And I know how it goes. But you know what? We ought to do what God says.
Amen.
We ought to obey Him. When He says to cast our cares upon Him, we ought to do that. And we ought to leave them there.
Amen.
Don't go back and get them.
Amen.
Right? Say, Lord, whatever your situation is, I'll just say how I would say it. I'd say, Lord, I'm a mess. How's that? Lord, I'm a mess. You ever say that? Oh, you're not a mess. I see. Well, then don't bother. Here's how I do it. I say, Lord, I'm a mess. And I need help here. I can't do nothing about this. I'm just going to give it to you. That's about all you can do, isn't it? David said, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I got to just admit something to you. That's easier said than done, isn't it? Casting your cares upon the Lord. It's easier said than done. But that doesn't excuse us from not doing it. We're prone to handle our burdens ourselves, aren't we? But do you know there's some things you can't change? There's some things you can't change. And Evelyn reminds me of that quite often. She's a good helpmeet. I'll be worrying about something or stressed out about something, and she'll say, well, you can't do anything about it. Don't worry about it. And you know what? She's right. There's some things we can't do anything about. But pray. That's all we can do, right? Pray and trust that he'll take care of it. Hey, he knows how many hairs is on your head. He can take care of you. He can take care of you. But some of us are control freaks. Did y'all ever know a control freak?
Amen.
Huh? Some of y'all are control freaks. And so we don't like it when things aren't in our control. But you know what God does to people like us that are control freaks? He takes everything out of our hands and says, now what? Mrs. Control Freak or Mr. Control Freak, now what? He's in control, we're not.
Amen.
Right? David here, he describes his situation as a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You ever feel like that? I'm in a bad place. I'm in a dry place. I can't. It feels like God, you know, Job said that. Job said, I can't find him. He said, I look on my right hand, he's not there. I can't find him. You ever feel like God's a million miles away? Maybe you've never felt like that, but I know what that, I feel like that sometimes. I feel like God's a long way away from me. But I tell you what David did, he had the good sense to cry out for the living water. He had the good, Christ can nourish our souls, can't he? He can feed our souls. He will strengthen us for our journey. He's our shelter. Christ is our shelter. He's our defense. He's our hope. We sing the hymn, oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Now, if we don't get him the shelter, whose fault's that? Right? Is he your rock today? Is he your rock? Have you trusted Christ to be your Lord and Savior?
Amen.
Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. David said, my soul longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. There's no reason, if you're saved today, there's no reason for us to be thirsty. Not spiritually thirsty, right? He's the living water. We can cry out to him like David did. Is he your help in life's trials? Is he your help in life's trials?
Amen.
That really matters, doesn't it?
Amen.
Let me tell you, you say... I'm reminded of a story that a preacher friend of mine, he's home with the Lord now. His name was Frank Pittman. I love to hear Frank Pittman preach, but He told a story one time. He had some relatives down in Texas, and he said he went out in the middle of the night to pray on the patio down there, and the next morning, I think it was his son. I wouldn't swear to that though. But whoever he was visiting there said, "Did you go out last night?" And he said, "Yeah, I stepped out on the patio out there, and it was kind of like a little sandy patio." He said, "Yeah, I stepped out on the patio and prayed." And he said, "Man, don't do that." He said, "Look," and he showed him, and all these little scorpion tracks were all over that sand where he had been walking. You could see his footprints, and you could see those scorpion tracks. In that part of Texas, I guess they had a lot of scorpions. But Frank Pittman called that a test. And he said this. He said, when God puts tests in our life, he's not like, when we were kids, the TV, it would make a noise. It'd go, beep. You remember that? And then the guy with a real nice voice, he'd say, "This is only a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. If this had been a real emergency, blah, blah, blah." Y'all remember that? Yeah. Don't say you don't, because you're old enough to remember that. But anyway, God doesn't do that. He doesn't call down. Now, listen, this is a test. And then when we go through the test, if we don't handle it right, God has to give us a retest. But I'm telling you, he can handle our trials. He can handle our tests. We're to keep looking to him. David said, "Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." You and I are going to have trials. You're going to have tests. Amen. Everybody is. And we're to keep looking to him. The Bible says he's the author and what? The finisher. We're looking unto Jesus. We're to keep looking to him. Psalms, if you look at it there, it says a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Let me just say this real quick about verse 2. He says, "To see thy power and thy glory, so I have seen thee in the sanctuary." I want to tell you today that the church house is a good place to get help. The church house is a good place to get help. David said, "I want to see you in the sanctuary." That's where we're at today. We're in his sanctuary, aren't we? It's a good place to see the power and the glory of God. Christianity is not suited for lone wolves. Amen. Y'all know what a lone wolf, you know what I'm talking about? Christianity is not suited for lone wolves. And I told a young man, I've been around a fella here in the past month or two, and he not going to church anywhere, but he knows all about the Bible. And he's an expert. And I told him, I'm being sarcastic. He don't know nothing. He knows just enough to be dangerous. There's some people like that. They know just enough Bible to be dangerous. And I was working around him 2 or 3 days, and he's spouting off all this stuff. You know, I guess he'd heard on TV, some of these TV preachers. Turn off them TV preachers. Amen. 98% of them are no good. Especially if they say, "Send me your money." Okay, they're not all bad. I'm not making a blanket statement. I'm making an almost blanket statement. They're not all bad, but a lot of them are. Right? Y'all know that? Okay. Well, this young man, he's young. I'm old, so he's young. He was going up spouting off all this stuff, you know. And finally I told him, and he accused me of raising my voice with him. Evelyn does that too. I'm just trying to make a point. I told that young man, I said, listen, I said, what you need to do is find you a good Bible-believing church and go sit under some preaching for about a year. And you know, there's a lot of people like that. They just need to go find them a good church somewhere that's preaching and teaching the Bible and just go sit there. Christianity's not suited for... sheep ought to be in a flock. Right? I'm trying to tell you real gently here, we need each other. Christians need one another, don't they? You might not know it, but I need you. And you need me. And you need everybody in here. We need each other. We need each other to pray for each other and to be kind to each other and to help each other and exhort each other, encourage each other. You know, there's preachers and there's evangelists and there's Sunday school teachers and there's all kinds of things. There's missionaries. But I'm telling you, one of the greatest things a person can be is an encourager.
Amen. That's right.
And you don't have to have a degree to be an encourager. You don't even have to know a whole lot of Bible to be an encourager. Right? You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean this. Now, men, don't you do this, but you ladies can do this. You can say, my, Miss Jones, you look nice today. I don't want you men saying that. I'll slap you if I hear you telling another woman besides your wife that she looks pretty today. That's none of your business how she looks today. Right? But you ladies can encourage. You can say, boy, that man, that green bean, I hate green bean casserole. Man, that green bean casserole was good last week. You made for the church dinner. Does any of y'all bring green bean casseroles? I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. If you bake one, I'll try it. It might be good. I might have got a bad one one time. Yeah, Jerry's a good cook. Maybe he can make one I like. I'm just trying to tell you, we can be encouragers, can't we? All of us can be encouragers. And you know what? We need encouragement.
Amen.
Don't we? Everybody needs encouragement. We need encouragement. It's a good place to get help at the house of God, isn't it?
Amen.
Yes.
It's a good place to get your batteries charged. It's a good place to get some, to refuel, isn't it? Right? We need to encourage one another. Look over at Psalm 63 and verse 6. He says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. You know, as you get older, you begin not to, a lot of us, we don't sleep so good. And we wake up a lot. And we think, if you're a Christian, I hope you think about God when you wake up, on the night watches, right? Because thou hast been my help, verse 7, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, my right hand upholdeth me. You know, if you're his sheep, he's been your help. He's been your help. And he will continue to be your help. Won't he? And we can rejoice. David said, I rejoice. I rejoice in the shadow of thy wings. My soul followeth hard after thee. When I read that yesterday, I thought about, I like to watch old movies. And especially I like old, you know, crime movies, police movies, or whatever. And they'll say, get it, tell that guy and don't lose him. Get on that guy and don't lose him. And they'll be driving through the streets like maniacs, you know, following each other. And, you know, the psalmist says here, he says, my soul follows hard after God. Well, I can tell you today, stay on him, don't lose him. Right? Don't let him out of your sight. Stay with God. Stay with God. You'll never go wrong if you stay with God.
Amen.
Will you? If you're his sheep, you know, I read a little thing on Facebook. It's true. I think Tozer said it. He said, the devil's not scared of the sheep. He's scared of the shepherd.
Amen.
The wolves aren't afraid of the sheep. They're afraid of the shepherd. So how does a sheep stay safe? Stays near the shepherd, right?
Yep.
Amen.
You and I need to stay near the... David knew all about that, didn't he?
Yep.
He knew all about that. He said, my soul followeth hard after thee. My right hand, or thy right hand, upholdeth me. You know, right there you see two things. What do you see? Well, you see man's responsibility and God's sovereignty in that verse. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. It's your responsibility to follow God. And it's his job to take care of you. And as an old friend of mine used to say, when I can't, he can.
Amen.
When I won't, he will. When I don't, he does. He's going to take care of us, isn't he? He's going to take care of us. He's patient with us, isn't he?
Amen.
Isn't he patient with us? My goodness, he's patient with us. I went over to Hannah's house yesterday, you know, and Ella and Mia, my little grandbabies, they're the best grandbabies, if y'all didn't know that, but they were there, and Hannah made a bowl of chili, had a big pot of chili, and Mia wouldn't eat it, so she just sat there at the table and cried. Y'all ever seen a kid do that? Just sat there and cried, you know. Finally, Hannah said, she started to whip her, and Mia said, no, don't whip me, and Hannah said, go to your room. So she went in the room and cried. Right? Well, Nana, she went in there and said, how come you won't eat your chili?
I don't like it.
Nana said, well, what don't you like? Well, Nana found out she don't like the meat and she don't like the big chunks of tomatoes. She just wanted the beans. So guess what Nana did? She brought her back in there, dried her tears, picked all the stuff out of there except the beans. And she sat there and ate the beans. Everything's fine. Now, why would I tell you that story? Because I'm telling you, God's like Nana. He's patient with us. He's patient with us. He works with us, doesn't he? You know he does. Aren't you glad he works with us? Aren't you glad he deals with us as a father? He deals with us as sons and daughters.
Amen.
You know. Aren't you glad that he's more like Nana than Hannah? I'm glad he's patient with me, aren't you? You know, and you know, the Lord just, I think, gave me this. One of these days, Mia will grow up and she'll eat all the whole bowl of chili. Right? Good chance of it. But in the meantime, she just go eat the beans. Isn't that like God, though? Just to be so patient with us. He's patient with David, wasn't he? He's patient with David. And he was patient. He's patient with us.